I had surgery this past year, and I won't go into detail except the fact that they said it was okay for me to leave the hospital, and suddenly the car seat was pooling with blood. And I was like, I think we might want to go back.
This is comedian Maria Bamford. We met up for lunch at Four Cafe in the Eagle Rock neighborhood of L.A.
But before my husband drove me back, I said, can I please go to Foster's Freeze first? Foster Freeze is a dirty Dairy Queen.
So wait, you were literally bleeding. You're in the car bleeding.
Bleeding, yeah.
And you said, let's stop for ice cream.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Because I had planned to have that treat post-surgical procedure, and then to go, just because they f***ed up, I gotta miss my treat.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean.
No.
Like, when you're looking forward to eating something good, and you're looking forward to it for days or all day, you're okay now, though.
Totally fine.
Good.
Well, I'm sure everyone has their funny medical stories where you're like, it's an emergency room, right? Does anybody have a drop cloth I can bleed on? Okay. No, I'll wait in the slide. Which, I mean, you have to wait because
I'll wait in the slide with my ice cream. Maybe that's why they didn't believe you, Maria. That it was that much of an emergency.
That was just that.
Right. Maybe that was. You might have tipped your hand to the staff that it was not actually much of an emergency. Today on The Sporkful, I sit down with one of my favorite comics in the world, Maria Bamford. I actually think eating an ice cream cone in a pool of blood is sort of the perfect metaphor for her particular kind of dark comedy.
My dad, he's a doctor, so he's very successful, but he's obsessed with food. My mom has him on a heart-healthy diet, so he's always telling me about his secret stashes with all the seriousness of a POW. Hey, kid. I got some powdered donuts. Yeah, they're in the freezer underneath all the vegetable crap. Joel, what are you whispering about? You have got powdered sugar all over your face. Oh, run, kid, run!
Maria also has her own issues with food. Coming up, she'll talk about what she calls her all-American eating disorder. And we'll analyze her salad eating technique to find out what it tells us about her battle with depression. Stick around. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Now, I know I told some of you guys we weren't going to have a show this week. We were supposed to take this week off so we could focus on some upcoming shows that we're really excited about. But we just couldn't wait to share this one with you. So there will be no show next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Maria Bamford's comedy is like its own twisted universe. She uses all these different voices to conjure up characters, often her family and friends from her native Minnesota. She did this one stand-up special taped in her house where the entire audience was her parents. And starting May 20th, she'll have her own show on Netflix called Lady Dynamite. In it, she gets her big show business break, only to have a major breakdown.
Maria, have you ever been diagnosed with any mental illness?
You say diagnosis, I say diagnosis.
I'm just trying to get some balance in my life. The only two friends I have left are Dagmar and Larissa.
You didn't even visit Maria in her time in need.
I'm sure you were very busy, Larissa.
I wasn't. Okay. I wasn't busy at all.
Maria's talked openly about her real-life battles with mental illness. She'd been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and has a lot of social anxiety. She says sometimes it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. That's why she often has a piece of chocolate for breakfast. It's a treat to look forward to, an incentive to start the day. After the sugar and a big cup of coffee, Maria says she usually has just an explosion of ideas. So food is fodder for her comedy, literally and figuratively. Let's hear a little more of her stand-up, and then from this clip, we'll go straight into my lunch with her.
Have you ever seen somebody order in this country? That's when you realize, hey, maybe we have too much freedom in the United States.
Can I ask a quick question about the coffee? Is it organic? Okay, I don't want it. I'd like to have...
I'd like to have a bowl of boiling hot water, boiling, with ice, and I don't want the ice to get all tiny. And then I'd like to have the turkey burger, but I want it sectioned into 14 quadrants. I know that's impossible, but do it. And then not on a plate. Drop from an altitude of 10 feet, piece by piece, into my hands with an attitude of regret. Thank you so much.
Nina.
Hello.
Nina, you're on a podcast called Sporkful with WNYC.
Well, hello, listeners. My name's Nina.
We're at Four Restaurant in, and I'm good without pepper. I know that you have a wonderful pepper pot. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
What I do is I pour salt on everything even before I know what it tastes like. Because I know I'm going to want salt.
Right.
Hello, here she is again.
My Tempeh Reuben.
Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Maybe just some napkins. Because I'm going to get... Oh, yeah. I can tell by looking at this that I'm going to get messy.
It's going to be messy.
You.
It's
all that sauerkraut. So let me ask you, Maria. Your salad here has a lot of components. You've got shredded beets, shredded lettuce, sprouts, avocado, grilled salmon, sunflower seeds, a couple kinds of greens. I see you mixing very thoroughly there.
Yes.
Is your goal with all these components and the mixing that you're doing now, are you trying to achieve a bite that gets everything in one bite?
Here's what I do.
Talk me through it.
Okay. I like to mix it all up, except for the protein. The protein, I wait until it sinks to the bottom. Last taste is the delicious protein that I have gotten, you know, that I've saved.
So you'll eat the entire salad off the top and save the salmon for the end?
For the end, yeah.
And what's the thinking behind that?
The thinking behind that is that I've done a good job.
You feel virtuous after eating all those greens?
I did a really good job finishing the greens, and I deserve it.
I see you sort of forking selectively. Have you ever put thought into the order in which you fork different areas of the salad so that you end up with something different on the tip of the fork when you take a particular bite?
No.
Let me try to sell you on something here, Maria, because whatever part of the salad is on the tip of the fork, that's the part that's going to land on your tongue. Okay. That flavor will be most accentuated.
Okay.
So you should fork in ascending order of priority.
Okay.
So whichever thing you want to taste the most of, you want to finish with that, put that on the tip of the fork, and that way it lands in your tongue, you'll taste that more.
Well, here's the thing. I just have to get these greens down. It doesn't matter how they taste. I just got to get them down. I'm delighted that they taste good, but I'm going to save all the avocado and the nuts and the salmon for the bottom. Again, sinks to the bottom. It's not unlike, have you had a Dairy Queen peanut butter parfait?
I know them. I spent a lot of time with the Dairy Queen Blizzard in my day, so I haven't been able to experience the full range of selections.
I do like a layered thing. Like I layer cereal.
Tell me about that.
You put on oats, and I'm going to say uncooked 1 minute oats, like those quick oats.
Right.
But you don't cook them. Then you put, like a Raisin Bran. Then you maybe put a light sprinkling of granola, nuts, raisins, put on, drench it in skim milk. And it's a big bowl. You made a big bowl of it. And it's just wonderful that, go through each layer and...
And do you eat one whole layer off the top, or you go down to the bot straight down and then get a combination?
I get a combination, combos.
But you don't mix it. You get a combination, but you...
I don't mix it.
You
no,
like
no,
to
no,
keep
no,
the
no,
layers.
No. Yeah, I like to keep the layers.
What do you think that says about you?
that I'm awesome. Yeah. I have really good ideas.
This is a question that I've asked to several sort of deep thinkers over the years. At what point in a meal do you want to take the best bite? Do you take it first when your palate is primed and you're hungry? Do you save it for the end to end on a high note, or do you eat it somewhere in the middle?
I'm going to say the end.
Why?
Because I feel like I need a reward for finishing finishing everything. I don't know why I see life as a series of uncomfortable things and then rewards. But sometimes I do, you know. I mean, not that I feel pretty good today, but sometimes I long for sleep, you know, which I don't know. I know other people aren't like that. Like they can't wait to get up in the morning. And maybe that's the salad is all about depression.
The piece of salmon is like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. Yes, it is. I never really thought of myself as depressed as much as paralyzed by hope. And, I was seeing a therapist. I can't say it properly because I don't take it seriously. And, I had a lot of anxiety. And my therapist, she told me to,
why don't we sing those anxieties aloud? Let's take the power away from those little anxieties. Let's call those anxieties gremlins.
Why don't we just call them anxieties?
Would you feel more comfortable with goblins?
Yes. Well, this is my anxiety song. If I keep the kitchen floor clean, no one will die. As long as I clench my fists at odd intervals, then the darkness within me won't force me to do anything inappropriately violent or sexual at dinner parties. Woof! As long as I keep humming a tune, I won't turn gay. It can't get you if you're singing a song. Yeah! I remember one year I gained a lot of weight because I went to a violin camp and they had ice cream machines where you could just have the ice cream come out of the machine at you. And I used it. And I remember I don't know if anyone said anything, but I think somebody must have said something because that was when I went on a diet for the first time. Mm. And I went on Richard Simmons. One of his first ones, and then I lost, you know, whatever it was, you know, probably only like 7 pounds or something. And the lunch lady at school was like, "You look great. What did you do over the summer?" I restricted my calorie intake. And I squeezed my buttocks together so that I could feel like I was losing weight everywhere I went.
But when she complimented you, how did that make you feel?
Oh, awesome. Just like, oh, I'm winning.
Right.
I'm on meds that kind of I've gained weight on, and I think I used to be more, some may say just manic, but you were hypomanic, but I was also a lot thinner because I just had tons of energy and could eat anything. But, yeah, and it could... And kind of needed to exercise. Like one of those people who are just like, I need to go out on a run just because I feel it. And now I don't have that. And there is some weird power to being thin or skinny, you know, where you feel like, I'm super, you know. I don't know. At least that's what I felt a little. And now I'm just norm.
But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've also sort of like, there have been times where you sort of were a bit of a binge eater. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. I had a terrible eating disorder. Or not. I mean, they're terrible. And then I think I had an all-American eating disorder. From the age of about 10 to 19, there's lots of mental illness in my family. So I think it's a cornucopia of things that came together where I... And they do studies that if you starve, you will set yourself up to binge. But what I did, or one of my behaviors was, you know, not eat for an enormous amount of time and then, not be able to stop eating. And I did that up until I was 19. And then I called a suicide hotline and I got into a group because I had to learn to eat, which is very... white privilege is speaking right now. I had to learn to eat all sorts of different foods because I just wouldn't. I had so much avoidance of different stuff. So
is this a thing that traces back to your childhood? Like, were you always forced to like eat your vegetables first?
My mom was always on a diet, and so there was some moral. Foods were given good and evil characteristics, and
right.
Powdered donuts, evil, good. What would she have? Alba shakes. You remember those from the 1980s? Oof.
What was? I don't. What was that
well,
like?
Well, it's the just kale so of the simple. 80s? You put it in a Cuisinart with some ice cubes, and it's a foam.
It sounds delicious. I don't know why that didn't last. Coming up, my conversation with Maria Bamford continues. She'll talk about the difference between going out to eat in her native Minnesota and going out to eat in LA, and why she could handle waiting tables in one, but definitely not the other. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. Like I said, we're not releasing a show next week, which means this is the perfect opportunity for you to catch up on The Sporkful's back catalog. If you're enjoying this episode, we actually have a lot of shows that feature comedians. Jim Gaffigan explains how he lies to his kids about food, like he says something spicy even when it's not, just so he doesn't have to share it with them, because he has 5 kids. So I've done that also. I get that. Mark Maron's been on the show. He talked about how coming off of sausage, gravy, and biscuits is kind of like coming off of crack. And he knows. And Margaret Cho, she discussed her struggles with eating disorders. A lot of you responded very strongly to that episode. Then there was one of my personal favorites, Ron Funches. He talked about some of the challenges of raising his autistic son.
When he was young, it was just about getting him to eat at all. Like, he just didn't want to eat anything, and that was scary, and he was very underweight. Now, he loves pizza, just cheese pizza, and he likes it from Domino's or Papa John's. He doesn't like it from anywhere else. If you give him a pizza from somewhere else, he won't eat it. If he gets a pizza from Domino's and it's been slightly overcooked, or there's some type of air bubbles in it, he won't eat it.
That show and all our episodes with different comedians are available now wherever you got this one. Now let's get back to Maria Bamford. Maria is the pride of Duluth, Minnesota, and her hometown often ends up in her act.
You know when you feel like maybe you've been a success in life, and then you go back to your hometown of Duluth, Minnesota, and you meet your... All right! Then you go back to your hometown, and you meet up with your archenemy, Christy Coombs, from high school at Target, and you realize nothing's changed at all, and you're still the great big hose beast you always were.
So I saw you on TV or whatever. It's just like in high school. It's like you're not funny, you're just weird.
Comedy's subjective. It's an art form.
So are you gay? Because I heard a lot of women comedians are gay.
No, I'm not gay. I mean, it'd be okay if I was, but I'm not.
That's good. Because remember we all went to Christian Bible camp? We all went skinny dipping that one night. And you wouldn't take your shirt off. And I'm like, oh my God, you got nothing to show anyway. And then you took it off. We all gave you titty twisters. I was like, oh my God, if you were a you'd have been all turned on by that. And then I just got all grossed out. Press debit or credit.
You know what I love about Minnesota? That may just be something from my childhood, but I think it still exists, is an acceptance of whatever food is put in front of you. Oh, that's good. Oh, well, we're fine. You know, well, it seems big enough. You know, like, it's just, there's not, I don't remember seeing anyone send something back.
Right.
When I grew up. And I agree with that. I just think somebody spent time making that thing for you. And yeah, maybe out of a bag or whatever. But I remember I went to this painting class about 5 years ago in Duluth. And it was myself and a bunch of elderly ladies in big hats painting. And they just went nuts over the breakfast. They just said, this is just so good. And it what it was like a banana and some yogurt and some Otis Spunkmeyer muffins, like right. The kind you get at the gas station. I was like, what am I missing here? And what I was missing was is that humble sense of gratitude that comes from being a child of God. I don't know. Yeah. That.
But do you feel like when you go out to eat in Minnesota now, do you get like self-conscious that the people there are judging, oh, Maria's in LA now?
Oh, well, I don't think anyone's thinking about me at all. But I think I definitely have different expectations. Like I was in Milwaukee, went to a coffee shop around 12:30, said, hey, can I have some coffee? Said, oh, well, we haven't, we would need to brew a new pot. Okay. Well, what, do you have a, could I have a muffin while the pot's, oh, no, we're out of muffins. Okay. It's just different. It's like the passion behind it is like,
well, you should have been here when there was a full pot of coffee.
Right. But doesn't it also say something about the customers mm-hmm. and the place?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, you know, it's a certain kind of place and a certain kind of customers that are going to be like, oh, no problem, I'll wait
yes.
till the coffee's ready.
Yeah, no you know? Worries. Yeah.
Right, I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
No problem.
And that was why I was able to waitress when I was in the Midwest. I was not a very good waitress. I have terrible social anxiety. I would get horrible nightmares the night before. Every night, like it never got better. And I was able to waitress in the Midwest because people would be like,
well, she said she'd come back. You know, she seems like she's under a lot of stress right now. And I mean, I think, you know, I'll just go get a basket of chips for myself. I know where they are.
Like I worked at a Mexican restaurant and I remember five tables sat down at once, and I could just barely keep it together. Like, I was just like, chips in a basket.
So, Maria, we've gotten to the end of your salad.
Yes. Now, I have to say, the salmon was not as tender as I'd hoped. Sometimes, have you ever had salmon teriyaki?
Yeah.
It's so delightful. Not that this wasn't delicious, but I think I could have used, I think this is a very healthy salad, so it did not have cheese, croutons, a thick jalapeno ranch dressing.
or the sugar.
Or the sugar.
It's so integral to good teriyaki sauce.
I think the right. sugar part. So
when that happens, you were saving the salmon for the end.
Yes.
And then it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Well, there's another meal coming in just 4 to 5 hours. I'll be able to have another meal. And what could that be? What will that meal be like?
Have you sent any food back since you moved to LA?
Oh, God, have I? No. I know I haven't. I'll eat just about anything. It's good. I have had a Caesar salad with too much dressing.
Mm.
Where I've said, hey, come on. Right. Let's back off.
Right.
What are you?
And you can't fix that.
Yeah. You really can't go back and I...
Unless you're going to ask for another
salad.
Right. With no dressing. And then you mix the two to get the right ratio. But now you have twice as much salad as you need.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that has happened. I remember the sadness of getting a salad that was drenched in dressing. And, you know, at that point you just... To say, I'm not alone.
That's comedian Maria Bamford. Her new Netflix show debuts May 20th. It's called Lady Dynamite. Watch it, because she's amazing. Support Maria Bamford. Also, she's touring all over the country this summer and fall. Check out her dates at mariabamford.com. Remember, we have a lot of other great Sporkful episodes featuring comedians. You can hear Jim Gaffigan talk about eating with his five kids and the lies he tells them about food, Ron Funchess on the challenges of getting his autistic son to eat, and Mark Maron on why his drug of choice is sausage gravy and biscuits. All those shows are in our feed now, wherever you got this one. Quick reminder, no show next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. While you're waiting, check out some of those other episodes. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. We got engineering help from Irene Trudell, music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Adam Van Dusen in Rochester, Minnesota.
And I'm Ben from Minnesota, reminding you to try to eat more, eat better, whether it runs or it flies, or it swims or slides, or slithers or glides, or grows. Right under our toes, just make sure to get a big dose of stuff in the air. We don't really care. Whatever you eat, it's all really fair. Sun for the photons and rain for the wetter. Just me and Sporkful hope you eat more better.
Gotta find somebody who loves you for who you are. I am not the healthiest eater. Sometimes for breakfast, I like to have a mug, chalk chip ice cream, chalk chips up top. Sweet power surge, get the little lady started. And my boyfriend said, hey, why don't you try something healthier, like a piece of whole wheat toast with a banana spread on it? Cause that's good. I said, yeah, no, I can't do that. Because I'm not a liar. Yeah, that is not good. That is not delicious at all. You know?